All right, so we are going to call it Pong, because everything needs some Z in it, and I've got 2D selected to make sure that the camera gets set up in the right mode, and we are going to create project. Now, it is going to open up the project, and what we can do is we can import the assets. Now, I have a basic sprite sheet, and again, it's Pong, 2D, we're thinking back to the 80s, graphics are very simple. So I'm going to import those assets, and you have two options. You can drag and drop everything in Unity, you can really drag and drop, or you can just go import new asset, and you can select your graphic. And so I'm going to select my sprite sheet. Now, a sprite sheet is a single graphic that is comprised of all the images or a section of images used in your game. And so the idea behind a sprite sheet is that you pack all the images into one and that you can just kind of let Unity or tell Unity how to cut them out. And so what we want to do is we want to look at this item, and if we click this little arrow, which kind of tells you what's comprised of this image, you'll see it's just one. So we actually need to make several images out of this. So to do that, we select the item, and the inspector on the right will show us that it's sprite mode single. And in order to have multiple images from a single sprite that we brought in, or a single image, we need to make it multiple. Once we select multiple, we can now open up the sprite editor. Now, if you've done your graphics in a very systematic way, for example, you have an animation of a character walking along, you might have the same size for each graphic and then spaced evenly. You could use a lot of, you know, the pixels per unit and the easy grid tools that Unity has, but we're just going to open up the sprite editor and do it manually. I'm going to hit apply because I want to apply these new settings, and you'll start to see these items in here. Now, I can start to cut them out just by literally dragging and dropping. And you see this green bounding box, right? Now, I didn't do a perfect job here, and that's okay. I let go, and you'll see that this secondary menu comes up, and it says Sprite, and it tells you the position on this graphic where you cut it out, so the X and the Y and the width and the height. And so that's kind of like this bounding box, if you want to think of it like that. And we want to change the name of this, so we're going to say... Now, sometimes on a Mac, you'll get that error where you can't name the sprite. And what you can do is you can go up to Window and go to Default and just reapply Window Settings seems to do it for some reason. So now if we go to the sprite and the sprite sheet, we can open up the sprite editor again and we have this one graphic and we can change the size of it, and in the sprite editor we can now name it. Don't know why that works, but for whatever reason redoing the window layout seems to work for me. So if you're on a Mac and that happens, try that. Now I'm going to hit enter. I'm just going to keep cutting out these different graphics. Now this is going to be kind of a horizontal wall, and again you can fix them after the fact. So I'm going to call that horizontal wall. This is going to be a vertical wall. It's kind of hard to see with the color and the transparency and the ping. Vertical wall. I've got a dotted line. This is kind of like a mid-court kind of idea. It'll tell us what's the middle. So I'm just going to go divider. I have a racket over here. And I could probably use one graphic and kind of just change the size of all of them since they're so simple, but, you know, thought I would show how to do a sprite sheet. And so this is a simple, I look at this item, it's going to be my ball or puck, right? And you also see that the pivot point is in the center. Now that's this point right here. And what that means is that depending on how you animate it or rotate it, it's going to happen from the center as opposed to one of the corners. Now, once you've cut out your graphics and you've named them, because again, the naming isn't that intuitive, hit apply up here. Once you hit apply, we can X out the sprite editor, and you'll start to see there's a bunch of different graphics that are made. All right, now that we have our graphics in, what we can do is we can start to lay out some of the assets. And we can play around with their sizes. And so we can lay out the background in the middle. Again, we can make it, you know, a little bit bigger if we want. We can change the size. And we can put in the wall. So we can say horizontal wall or the vertical wall. Now, it looks like I didn't cut out my horizontal wall, so I'm going to do that one again. Which means I'm going to bring up my sprite sheet, my sprite editor, and I'm going to cut out the horizontal wall, which should be in there. I'm going to hit apply. I'm going to get rid of this. And I see the horizontal wall. And I can line it up and just drag it across. Again, not too worried about making everything look super perfect at this point in time. Just going to drag things out, and then I'm going to make sure that this item gets all the way down here, maybe a little farther. All right, so if I wanted to do some fine details on these, I could scroll my mouse in to see the sections and pan around with the hand, and I can start to see that some of these items might need to be resized just a little bit. That's good enough for me for now. I'll pan back out. All right, and so this bounding box right here is going to be the area. And so if we look at our game, we'll see that we're not taking up the whole area. So we can go back and resize these items after. What I want to do is I want to just rename these walls. They're not that intuitive. So let's go left wall. Let's go right wall. Top wall. Bottom wall. Sounds like a bad song. All right. And then once we have those, I hit enter. I can select all of the walls, and all these walls are going to act as barricades. They want to keep that ball bouncing around in. And so to do that, I'm going to add a component. I'm going to go to Physics 2D, and I'm going to select a box collider. Now, box collider here will make sure that you'll see these green bounding boxes, and that's the colliding area for collision. Rephrase. That's the collision area for the box. Now you can modify just the collision area to make it bigger or smaller than the actual item itself if you want. So we have our walls, and then let's put in our divider. All right, and now what I need to do is I need to put in the ball. So we can put the ball here. And I need to put in two rackets. So again, we can change the size of these rackets or the starting position. Okay, and I'm going to have rename the rackets. So it's left racket. And this one's going to be right racket. Okay, now we have our assets in the game. We have our assets in the game. Next thing I want to do with the rackets is I can select both of them, or I can do individually. I'm going to add a component. I'm going to go to Physics 2D, and what I want to add is a box collider. Now, for the box collider, I'm going to make sure that I just have nothing set. It's fine. And then what I want to do is I want to add a rigid body 2D. Now, the box collider will handle the collision if it hits the wall or any of the boundaries, or if it hits a ball. But for me to actually move these items up and down, I'm going to want to use a rigid body. And so I can add physics 2D, rigid body. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that they have a gravity scale of 0. I want these items to have no gravity. And then I want the physics to be continuous. So I want to continuously be checking for collision detection. And I want any of the physics to be interpolated so that it's continuously calculating exact physics. And the next thing I want to do is I want to hit the constraints and make sure that I freeze rotation so that if something hits it, you know, and it doesn't rotate, if the ball hits it, it's not going to rotate in any case or shape or form. So it's only going to be on the X and Y. All right. Now that we have our rackets set up, let's try moving them. And to move them, we're going to need to script something. So what I want to do is I want to go to your assets and I want to right click and go create C# script. And let's call this racket. And if we open up racket, you'll see that it opens up and we have public class racket extends mono behavior. So we're getting all the good stuff from mono behavior. It's the base class. Every script is going to derive from it. And we have two functions listed here. We have void start and void update. So we're going to want to move those rackets. So the first thing I want to do is create a public variable, public float speed, and I'm going to set it to 30. That's going to be our magic number today. Now, the next thing I want to do for the racket is I want to not use void or start, but I'm actually going to use something called fixed update. And fixed update, if spelled appropriately, is part of what you get from mono behavior. Fixed update is called on an interval. It's timed. So update is called once per frame, but fixed update is more precise because it's on that interval. So when you're doing anything physics related, you really want to leverage fixed update. Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to create a reference to that rigid body 2D that I've added to this racket. And I'm just going to go like that. And what I want to do is I want to set this reference when we start. RB is equal to get component. We're going to look up the component and we're going to say what component type we're looking for. And we're going to create a reference. That way we only have to look up the component once and not every frame or on a timed interval. If we were to do it on a timed interval, it means that we're constantly looking it up every single time. And you can imagine how tiring that is. Imagine when someone asks you the same question all the time and you are constantly just sending them a link to Google it, right? Or Bing it. So, you know, this is the idea of we're creating a performance boost because we're storing that reference and we're avoiding lookups continuously. Now in the fixed update, what I want to do is I want to declare a local variable. So float V is going to be a float. I'm going to set it to equal to input get axis raw. And I'm going to say vertical. What does this do? Well, in Unity, they have an input manager, and in the input manager has a listing of all of these mapped inputs. And so basically, vertical is a nice name that's going to allow you to easily access the input manager, and the input manager has all these values assigned against vertical. So by default, vertical is going to be, for example, the up and down arrows. And the default or the kind of alternative inputs for that might be WS, right? So it's already done these mappings as part of the project for you. If you wanted to do jump, for example, you could say get access raw jump, use the keyword jump, and jump would mean the space bar. So you're not looking to see which key is up or down or any of that stuff. The input manager handles all of it for you, and you can add new or custom inputs that you're looking for. So what we want to do is we want to say, once we have that value, that input, you know, get access raw vertical, and that's going to be the up or down key, and it's going to give us, you know, an either a positive or a negative number. And what we're going to do is we're going to say RB, so let's set the velocity of the rigid body equal to new vector 2, and we're going to say 0, because we don't want it to move on the X, we only want it to move on the Y. And then we're going to say V. Now, why do we declare that speed variable if we're not going to use it, right? Well, let's use that to times it by speed. And that will give it a movement that's much faster. Now, save that out. And now we can apply it to those rackets. So we can do this by, again, we can select the left racket, and I'm going to show you just dragging and dropping the script onto it to add, or you could go to the right racket, and we can also add a script by going add component scripts, and you'll see racket shows up. All right, let's take a look at what this looks like. So you see they move together up and down, but let's say you want two people to play and one person should have the up and down keys and the other person should have another set of keys. Well, how do we do that? Well, we add a new input in the input manager. So to add a new input into the input manager, what we can do is we can go to Edit, Project Settings, Input. Now you'll see that it has a number of accesses already listed. So for example, I gave the idea of jump. Well, jump is matched to the space button, for example, or space bar. So what we want to do here is if you want to write your own custom one, you set the size. So this is the size of the access array, for example. You set it to be 19 or one value up, and you see it gets duplicated here. Now we're going to call this vertical 2. Okay, and the positive button is going to be a W, and the negative button is going to be S. And I'm not going to list an alternative, a negative button or alternative here. I can just leave that as is. And that is the definition, and this is the friendly name. So instead of vertical, I just use vertical 2. Now, for vertical, we should just double check for this project. You'll see it lists up and down, but it also lists alternative as S and W. So let's just get rid of S and W here, for example. And that way we can make sure that we have all of those items listed as we want. Now, we also see these values. So let's make sure that we have those same values. So gravity is 3 and sensitivity is 3. So let's go down to vertical. And gravity, let's make it 3, and sensitivity is 3, right? And then that way we make sure that we have the same listings. We also want to just turn on snap, all right? And so that way we've got everything set. It's exactly as the same before. And again, you can duplicate the item if you wanted to. And now that we have vertical 1 and vertical 2, what we need to do is we need to allow the ability to define which one should take vertical and vertical 2. So we're going to do that in the script. Let's open up the racket script and let's create another variable and we're going to call it public string axes, and we are going to set it to vertical to start off with. Okay, but then what we're going to do here is instead of hard coding it here, we're going to use that variable. We've declared it as public, so it will be exposed in the inspector in Unity. So that way we can configure that item. Save that item. Let's go to Left Racket. And again, we can hide out some of these or collapse some of these items. And we can say this is going to use vertical 2. And this one's going to use vertical. So let's see if these items move. So this one moves only with arrow keys, and this one moves only with W and S. So that is how we add new access to the input manager and how we can start to define how different items will look for different things. All right, let's start working on the ball. Now, the ball is going to have to move, and it's going to have to collide. So immediately, when you think of those two things, one is physics, one's collision, what we want to do is we want to add a physics 2D component to the ball, and we also want to add a physics 2D box collider. Now, if we look at the rigid body, we want to make sure we set the mass to be something really small. And the reason for that is we don't want this ball, when it hits something, to move it. And that's what's going to have if it has a large mass. We also want to make sure that it's not affected by gravity. So we're going to set it to 0. When it comes to the calculation of the physics, we want to make sure that it's interpolated so that it's constantly and with precision being calculated in terms of physics. And we want to make sure that collision detection is continuous. Under constraints, we're just going to want to freeze the rotation so that it's not going to, you know, rotate when it hits something. Now, for the box collider, what we want to do is we want to add a little bit of bounciness to this ball. And, you know, we could do a whole bunch of math against it, but, you know, we're a little lazy. And so we're going to take care of all the bounciness of the ball by using what's called, you know, a physics 2D material. So go to Assets and go Create, and then we can go to Physics 2D Material, and I'm going to call this Bouncy Ball, and you'll see that this has friction and bounciness. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to set friction to 0 and bounciness to 1. Now you can feel free to change those values and see how they affect what's happening in terms of the physics. Now that I've created a physics 2D material, which again, you can do by doing create physics 2D material, I am going to apply it to the ball. So I can select the ball, so I can take the material, and I can drag and drop it into the physics material. All right, and now it's going to use this material when it's thinking about collision and how it should handle the physics. The next thing I need to do is I need to script the ball. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to right-click. I'm going to create new C# script. I'm going to call it ball. I know I got super creative on that one. And what I want to do is I want to create a variable. And I'm going to say public float speed is equal to 30. And this is going to be speed for the ball, and we'll see if that's actually going to be too high or too low. And when the ball starts, or as soon as the game starts, what I want to do is I want to apply some velocity so that the ball is constantly moving. And so I only have to do this once, and I can do it in the start function. And so I need to get that component, which is the rigid body 2D, because that handles all of the movement, and I need to set the velocity to vector2.right times speed. Well, what is vector2.right? Vector2.right is shorthand for writing vector10. So it would move it 1 on the x and 0 on the y. And so now what I'm doing is I'm taking that value right here and I'm timesing it by the speed, which will make it go much faster. Now that we have that, we save it. And we can go back to our ball, and we can drag and drop the script onto the ball. Okay, and let's see if that ball is going to move back and forth and bounce off those items. So you can see that the ball is moving really, really quick, right? Maybe the speed's too high. So what we can do is we can select the ball. And now in that script, we can set the value to maybe something like 10. And if we hit play, we'll see that might go at a little bit better speed. And we can start to play with that value. Okay, so now that we have the ball moving, we need to think about where it hits on the racket and really what it should do. So if it hits straight up, it should probably just bounce right back. But if it's hitting a corner, then its position should probably be going something along this way. Or if it's hitting this corner, it should be going back around this way. So we're going to need to think about that in terms of where it hits the ball on the X and the Y, and where it's going to move next to. And we're going to have to handle a little bit of that code. So bring up the ball script again. And one thing that we want to declare is on collision, we want to figure out when the ball collides with something, what is it going to do? So the function for on collision is going to be void on collision enter 2D, and you see it's all capital like that, and it gets passed some information about the collision, and what it gets passed is a collision 2D object that we can now use to figure out who it collided with and all that kind of information we might care about in terms of a collision. Now, collision enter is just the moment it hits a collision. The first thing we want to do is we want to figure out who it collided with, right? And so we want to take a look and we want to say, you know, we don't want to look at the walls. We want to look at the rackets. Well, if we look at the rackets, they're named left racket and right racket. This is their actual name and we can reference them by their name. So if we bring up the script, what we can do is we can say if collision, and we can say game object because it's going to tell us the object we collided with. And we can say if its name is equal to, and we can say left racket, we want to do this. And then we can also say if the collision.game object.name is equal to right racket, we can do this, right? And so we could put in here a debug.log and we could say right racket. And in here, we could do a debug log and put in a left bracket. We'll take these logs out, but let's save that. And let's see if we're going to get anything happening. So if we go to the console, you'll see it's right racket, left bracket, right racket, left bracket. So we are getting those collisions and it is telling us the, you know, proper racket that it's hitting. Let's go back to our script. All right, I'm gonna just get rid of those debug logs. So we can write a function that's going to basically look at the ball position and look at the racket position and figure out based on the and divided by the height, and that will return a value that we can use to figure out if it's anywhere near the top of the racket, which might be 1, the 0 of the racket, or -1, which would be the bottom of the racket. And so we can create a function and we can say calculate position, and we're going to pass in a vector 2, which is going to be the ball position, and we're going to pass in another vector 2, which is going to be the racket position, and then we're also going to pass in a float, which is going to be the racket height. And what we want to do here is we want to say float value is equal to ball position dot y. We're going to say minus racket position dot y, and then we are going to divide that by racket height. And what we can do is we can return the value. Okay, so what it's doing is it's taking the difference between the ball position and the racket position. So that will tell you, if you think about that visually, if the ball Y is at zero, let's say it's like right in the middle, but the racket is up a couple and it's at the, so it's hitting it at the bottom of the racket, we can figure out the difference between that and then divide it by the racket height, and that's going to return that value. And so what we want to do in the collision enter 2D is we want to basically say, well, if it's a left racket, float y is equal to, and we're going to say calculate position, and we are going to say, since this is added to the ball, we can get the ball's position by going to the transform.position, and we can then go to the item that we hit, being the racket, and we can say its position. And then we can also go to the item and say, okay, it's the racket. I want to get its collider. I want to get the bounds of the collider. I want to get the size, and I want to get the y. Right? And that gives us that value that we need for the height. Now, one thing that we've done here is we're constantly looking up transform position here. And so we could do a shorthand here if we wanted to and just make a shorthand to the transform of the ball. We can leave it like that for now, though. But in the future, you might just want to make sure that something like this, you don't want to always look up the transform. You can just create a quick reference to it. Now, after that, we want to go vector to direction, so a local variable, and we're going to say new vector 2, and we are going to obviously put in 1 and y dot normalized. So what does normalized mean? What it means is that we're basically keeping the vector in the same direction, but we're going to keep its length to 1.0. And so that means that we're not going to get those like higher or lower values than that. If you go and you try to normalize something and then basically the vector is too small to normalize, you're just going to get a zero back. So that's something that you might be used to from other languages in terms of getting a zero or a null, for example. But you get a zero back from this if you don't have the value to normalize. And so we're looking at that calculate position right here, and we're saying, okay, well, give us a new vector and then on the y and normalize it. Now, what we want to do is we want to set the velocity of the rigid body to be equal to that direction times the speed. So that way we know where we're going in terms of that vector. So what I want to do here is I want to go up and I'm going to create a reference and we're going to refactor a little bit. And I'm going to go private, and this is going to be a rigid body 2D, and I'm going to say RB. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say RB is equal to, and I'm going to say get component, and literally it's exactly what's below it. And then I am going to just say RB. And that way, if I use this again, I'm not looking it up every single time. And so right down here, I want to use that. I want to set the speed of the rigid body, I want to set the speed in the direction of the rigid body. So I'm going to go RB velocity is equal to the direction times the speed. All right, and so that way we will know which way that item is going to go. Now for the right racket, we need to do the same thing, but instead of it going one, so you imagine it hit the left racket, you're going to want the ball to bounce back to the right, which means that it's moving on the X on a positive, so, you know, one. We're going to want it to do negative one. So we're going to do something very similar. We're going to say float Y is equal to calculate position. Now, again, we could rewrite this to be a little cleaner. And we're going to say transform.position, called collider bounds.size.y. Okay, and then we're going to say vector 2 direction, new vector 2. We're going to say negative 1, 0. We're going to normalize that as well. And then we are going to do the same thing. So you can see that this code, I just wrote a whole bunch of lines, I repeated it, and this could be refactored so that I am just checking to see what the direction should be and then applying that. Okay, so that is a to-do refactor, right? And so now that we have these items that are working in that way, and I found an error and you see it shows up in red, so I just need to save that. And what we can do is we can go and see how this works. So you can see, I can't even play my game. You can start to see that the ball moves in different directions like that. All right, now that we have the ball moving and the racket's moving, we want to see if the balls collide with the wall. So let's go back into our ball script. And what we want to do is if the ball collides, we're going to want to just reload the game, keep it really easy. And so I'm going to go back into our collision, enter 2D, and I'm going to check if the ball collides with either of the walls. So I'm going to say left wall. If so, do this. And I'm going to say right wall. I'm separating them out just because, and I just saw a mistake, not equal to. I'm separating them out because we might have a score counter, for example. And so, you know, depending on which wall you hit, it depends on which score is going to go up. Now, I have these two items. What I want to do is I'm going to set the velocity of the ball to be zero, so that it's not bouncing while maybe we're showing that there's a game over, for example. So I'm going to say RB velocity is equal to vector2.0. Vector2.0 is shorthand for 0, 0. And then I'm going to say the velocity, again, vector2.0. Now what I want to do is I just want to restart the game really quick. And so to do that, we need to use scene management. Now scene management is different in 5.3. It used to be application.loadLevel, for example, if you wanted to switch scenes. And so what we need to do here is I need to start using scene management. So I'm going to go using Unity Engine Scene Management. Okay. And so that tells the script that we're importing it and we need it. And then what I'm going to do down here is I'm going to write Scene Manager, and you see it's starting to do the auto-complete. I'm going to say load scene, and I'm going to say go to the scene manager. What scene am I loading? Get the active scene. So we're just going to reload this scene or this item that we're looking at, and its build index. It requires that number there. So that, we can copy and paste here, should restart the game. Now, when it comes to scenes, we need to make sure that we save our scene. Now, I've saved the scene by going File, Save As, and then saved it as main. And it shows up with that little icon. Now, the next thing we need to do is we need to make sure that Unity, the player, knows what scenes we want to include. Sometimes you will work in different scenes, but you won't use them all, for example. And so we need to go to File, Build Settings, and you'll see that I've added it. And so you can hit Add Open Scene, and it will add it there. All right? And so that way you want to make sure that you've got this scene in the build. Now, let's test this out. So I'm going to move the racket up here, and it restarts. Okay, that looks super weird. What's going on? Well, what's going on is that the items were all at the same level, and they when it goes to re-render it, Unity doesn't know how to re-render it. So we need to fix that. How do we fix the layers or the Z ordering of the items? Well, to do that, we need to go and we need to start putting them on different numbered layers. And so if you select background, you'll see sprite render and you'll see order and layer. So let's keep it at 0. Let's go to these walls and make all of the walls 1. So they are on top of the background. Let's make the divider 2. Let's make the ball 3. And let's make the rackets 4. All right, let's see if that fixes it now. We hit play and our item goes and you start to see that, boom, it restarts it. Some background sound, and we're going to do it at a very basic level. So first, let's import what we want to import. So let's go assets, import new asset. And I think I downloaded something under documents that will work, or downloads that will work. And I think that this is what I want. It's going to take a little bit. That, my friends, is the white screen of drawing death as it processes. And now that I have my asset in, what I can do is I can create an empty game object. And again, I could probably just attach it to the camera if I really wanted to, but I'm just gonna have it so it's its own object, and I'm gonna add a component, and it's gonna be audio, and I'm gonna say audio source. And what I wanna do is I wanna drag and drop this clip here, and then I'm gonna turn down its volume because I think it's pretty loud, and I am going to say, well, it should loop, play on awake. Let's try this out. So there you go. You see that it starts to play. And we'll restart. So that is how you add background sound. Effect when the ball hits the racket. So first things first, what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to import that asset. So I just created something really quick for this, and I imported a little sound effect, and so when you play it, it's very, very small. It's just like a bloop. It's very annoying, not going to lie. And what we can do with the ball is we're going to want to add a component, and we're going to say audio, and I'm going to say audio source, and then I can drag that clip there. So that's a clip that should play. Now let's configure this. I don't want to play when it's awake. Don't want it to loop. We're going to set the volume for 1. We might change that. So we have that clip now attached to the ball. But what happens when the ball starts to move? Okay, so let's open up the script. Now what we can do is we can go private audio source sound. And we are going to define that variable here once. And we're going to say we are looking for the audio source component that we attached to this clip or to this game object. And then anytime it hits a racket, we want to say sound.play. And you can see a bunch of different options. And so doing that, we should be able to get some sound effects when they play. Let's look at the ball, and let's play the game. And you get that really annoying sound effect. So that is how you add a sound effect to an item on collision.